You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Come, Holy Spirit, open your word to us, I pray, and open us to your word. For in you we find our life and our salvation. Amen. In the church calendar, today is the day of Pentecost, and we have these two great lessons from the 8th chapter of Romans and the 16th chapter of John's Gospel, the promise of God sending his Spirit into the world. As Jesus makes his way through the cross and through the resurrection to return to the Father, there is the promise, which I hope that we will hear this morning as we reflect on these two great passages, Romans 8 and John 16, that as Christians, you will never walk alone. That as Christians, you will never walk alone. And I'd like to reflect on three things with you this morning. The first being that you will never walk alone, and also that which is brought out in both not just, but in Romans 8 and also in John 16, that you will experience suffering. That as Christians, we experience suffering. We experience hardship. And the last is to say that your suffering will be redeemed. That the final word is that your suffering and your hardship through the work of God, through the grace of God, those things will be redeemed. But I begin sharing an experience with you. One of the things years ago, while in seminary, your first summer, you work as a hospital chaplain. It's what they call clinical pastoral education. And I don't know if any of y'all ever saw, and in some ways I hope you didn't, but there was sort of a late 80s, early 90s sitcom called Doogie Howser. Does anyone remember Doogie Howser? The basic premise, it was entirely plausible. You had this young man who was a genius, and at age 16 becomes a medical doctor. And so that's the basic premise of Doogie Howser, MD. And the only reason I bring that up is as a chaplain at that stage in life, I was kind of like Doogie Howser. I doubt folks got a lot of comfort when I walked into the room. I doubt they felt a great deal of assurance like, things are going to be all right. So anyway, that was the deal. You work as a chaplain. And one evening, I was on call. And one of the things when you're on call, all your friends left and you were left alone. You were sort of the guy out on the curb waving goodbye as everybody pulled away and went to their homes. And you were on call for the night. And as you might imagine, you didn't know what would happen. And I remember dangerously praying, God, I pray I'll be of service to you tonight. It's one of those prayers, be careful, because call after call after call after call came throughout the night. But one in particular, which I share with you now, and it was a woman, and her father was there in the hospital. And I actually had met him, a big hospital, but he was actually on the ward to which I was assigned. And she asked me if I would go and say last rites for her father, was the request. And if you're as reverent as me, this is not good, but I'll just go ahead. I'm already in. One of my first thoughts was Monty Python. And do y'all remember? Bring out your dead, bring out your dead, and I'm not dead yet, I feel much better. And so that was kind of my first thought. So I said, hey, as soon as we hang up the phone, I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray with your father. I wanted to be pastorally sensitive, not to pray last rites when he was feeling better. So I said, hey, I'm going to go up, I'm going to visit your father, and right after I visit your father, I'll call you, and I'll let you know how he's doing. And I went to his room, and it was night, and there was just that one little light on behind the bed, sort of dimly lit room. And he was awake, but he was on oxygen. He wasn't able to speak. He was intubated, but yet he was also, as I say, he was conscious. He was awake. And so I went in, and I just told him that his daughter had called, asking about him, and I had come to pray for him. And I was standing there at the side of his bed. And I mean, I had some idea what to do, but I didn't know what to do in that particular moment. And I began to pray for him. And some of the prayers were aloud. Some of the prayers were silent. And I confess that after a while, I began to feel anxious. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't want to leave if he wants me to stay. I don't want to stay if he wants me to leave. Please, Lord, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And I'm not making this up. He reached out and he held my hand. and took hold of my hand, and I was just like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we continued on as before, sort of praying some silently, praying some aloud, and then after a little while longer, once again, confess, I started thinking about myself, like, Lord, you know, I have nowhere else to be tonight. I'm not in a hurry, but at the same time, just like I prayed before, you know, help me know. You know, do I stay? Do I go? How long do I stay? When do I go? And we continued on for a little longer like that. And then he reached up his other hand, the one that was not holding my hand, and went like this. It was like, ah, you know, it's kind of one of those moments, the heavens open, and I'm like, thank you, thank you, Lord. You knew I needed it really, really plain and really clear, and I share that because we're looking both today at Romans 8 and John 16, but Romans 8 is this phenomenal passage, and one of the things that Paul not only promises, but one of the things that Paul had experienced personally is that the Spirit intercedes for us in our weakness. When we do not know what to pray, when we do not know how to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us. And part of what is being said to you and to me, and part of what Jesus is saying to his followers when he says, it's good that I'm going away. It's good that I'm going away because I'm going to send you the helper, the advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is promising to his friends and to his followers is that the time is coming when I will be with you always, and there's no place where I will not be with you. There's no place where you will be beyond my presence, your highest of highs, your lowest of lows, and everywhere in between. It's this promise of God that I've come that you might be mine. I've come to pursue you. I've come to claim you as my own, that we have a strength, we have an assurance. And all of this is spoken of in the context, too, of honesty and reality, of the fact that in our lives there is suffering, there are hardships. In both Romans 8 and also John 16, the imagery which is given is that of birth pains. This groaning, Paul in Romans talks about groaning, this groaning in expectation, this groaning in waiting. And the groaning is, the Bible's honest, the groaning is unpleasant. And the groaning is difficult, and yet it's not a final groaning. The way that the world groans because of the presence of the Spirit, because of the work of God, they're birth pangs. God is bringing life out of that for his church, for his community, and for you and for me. As the Spirit works and intercedes, basically as the Spirit prays within us, as the Spirit prays for us in those groans and in those sighs and those birth pangs, something is being born out of that. A new creation and a new life is coming for you and for me. And the amazing thing about this, the assurance of this and the certainty of this isn't based on yours and my performance, but it's on the purpose of God. It's the purpose and the intent of God which is bringing this about. And both in Romans 8 and also in John 16, Jesus talks about the birth pangs as well. He talks about the groaning. He talks to his followers and his friends and says, you know, the time is coming because of your relationship and association with me, they're going to throw you out of the synagogue and they'll think that they're doing service to God. And some of you may even be killed and people will think that they're doing service to God. But he says that I will not leave you. It is good that I am going away, because ultimately this suffering which you experience will be redeemed, and this suffering will be the means of your life, and it will be the means of your joy. The suffering is significant, but it is momentary, is what he says. And one of the things that Jesus says in this particular passage, and this is one of those which is true, but I'll also say churches and individuals always have misinterpreted and misused this as well. But he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, but you cannot bear them now. And the word, which is translated bear, and sometimes it's translated carry, the Greek word is bastazein, and the reason I share that with you is for this reason. It appears in numerous places in the Bible, but always very specifically, and always very particularly as well, because that word, as it appears, most importantly, in John, it's used for Jesus bearing the cross. That which is born is the cross. And in Luke's gospel, when Mary bears a son, it speaks of a certain amount of weight, a certain amount of challenge, a certain amount of hardship. Paul uses this as he encourages us to put up and to bear with the failings of the weak. And when he talks about carrying, bearing in his own body the marks of Christ, he's branded with them. It's a significant word. It's a bearing, but it's a bearing, again, in that imagery of birth and life that ultimately brings joy. Brings joy to yours and my life, and brings assurance to yours and my life. And David Ford, writing on this, has this amazing word that I want to share with you. He writes this: some truths can be taken in only after the space for them has been hollowed out by suffering and love and service. I'll read that again. Some truths can be taken in only after the space for them has been hollowed out by suffering and love and service, which is to say, God doesn't sort of willingly inflict you and me with suffering and hardship, and yet he is filling us more and more with his presence. Jesus is telling his followers, I'm going away, and he's talking to them, and they're crushed. They are sorrowful. And he says, this is momentary. This is momentary. Your sorrow will be turned to joy. And it's good that I go away, because I will send the Holy Spirit that I might always be with you. Final story. You don't have to admit to this in this context, but are any of y'all English Premier League fans? All right, wonderful. There are a few in here, and chances are you have a team. I'm taking no sides this morning, but if one of the teams in the EPL is Liverpool, yeah, that's right. That's right, from the back. Yes, Liverpool. So one of the teams is Liverpool. And interestingly, back in the day, you can imagine, back in the day, they used to, as the guys were warming up back in the 60s, they would play music over the speakers, and they would play whatever the number one song was. And for 5 weeks in a row, it was a song called You'll Never Walk Alone. That's right. You'll never, and you ready? Let's sing it. You'll never walk alone. Here we go. But it was interesting. So apparently it's a Rodgers and Hammerstein, Frank Sinatra apparently sang it in the 40s. Whatever, because in 1963, Jerry and the Pacemakers, it was a number one hit, again, 5 weeks in a row. But imagine at the home stadium for Liverpool, I forget exactly, 60-some thousand people is how many it seats. But as the game is about to begin, everyone is singing out at the top of their lungs. Everyone is standing together. Everyone sings this song together, You'll Never Walk Alone. And let me just, I'm going to read it, not sing it to us. This morning, you can look it up. It's a fabulous song. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, for your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. The message of Pentecost, of God promising his Spirit to you and to me, is to say to us, you'll never walk alone. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.